Yeah.
And it is recording. And at some point, I'm going to make you the host. I think I
Okay.
should do that now.
Fabulous.
How do I do that? Participants. Then I go to participants, Doug Upchurch,
Welcome,
more.
everybody. Seeing you
Hey,
come on.
host. Doug is now the host because now you can be the hi, everybody. Colby Thompson is number one on the panelist board. Hello. Nice to see everybody. I apologize. My Massachusetts is in the house. Hey, Dana, Angela Kirby, Ruby Starfeather, Roseman. Look at everybody's here. How great is that? It's the first time I've ever done this class in the daytime. I'm in Hawaii, and I have better internet in this hotel than I do in my house. So it's pretty cool. Aloha. That's right. Aloha. Yeah. No, traveling is hard. Traveling is hard. I find it really hard to stay. I'm pretty clean with my food, but then I get very swollen, so I don't like it. But I love it. I got a chance to be with some amazing people, and I saw some of you guys. I saw some of you guys at the conference, so I was so excited to see. Yeah, it was so cool, and I still have my glasses with me. What can I say? Hey, if any, this is so off topic, but if anybody likes TV shows, I just finished. I don't know if you like witches. I just finished the entire thing of Sabrina, The Adventures of Sabrina. That was so good. It was so good. It was like really camp and very, yeah, whatever.
I've
I'm
heard
so.
it's really good. I heard it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, Mark doesn't like it because it's not his thing. He's not going to watch a teenage girl turn into a witch. I thought it was so good. Hey, Corinne from Canada, Donna, Linda. We're just waiting for some of you guys to settle in with us. And I know, isn't Doug's glasses great? Oh, The Worst Witch is fun too. Oh, I have to watch that too. The Worst Witch. Hi from Australia, Massachusetts, Texas, New Zealand. I love
I'm
New
in
Zealand.
Texas today. Actually, I'm in Austin, Texas. So we've got a little bit of Texas in the house here.
Woo-hoo! That's so great. I'm so happy to be past that full moon, heading into the new moon. Excited about that.
No doubt.
Much nicer energy. I mean, didn't you find that kind of like zoned a little bit more into I spent this morning with Deborah Silverman. As you all know, you see her you hear her on my radio show, and we're doing a course for all you guys at some point called Stars and Cards and how we mix the two. And we were looking at the chart. You know, we can't look at the world's chart when the world was born, but we can look at the country's chart. So we saw America's chart and what's going on Canada and some of the Europeans. It was kind of cool to be able to see how everything is kind of settling in now. Yeah. Oh, is that right, Kim Hutchinson? November 6th. Seriously, Gina Marie, it's actually good. Some very, very nice energies, a nice shift. So, and also a need to surrender. Yeah, a need to surrender. So, but things, the progressed moon of America is in Capricorn. Just settling in and getting grounded now. So it's all good. Yeah. So, another couple of minutes. It's just 101 right now. We're just still waiting for people to come in. We've only got a few people on the call. Today is break week. So we're so excited. I'm going to just mention a couple of things that Anna sent me to chat with you guys about. And it's so, aren't you guys enjoying her headmistress corner? I think it's so fantastic that she's doing that. It's so much fun. So much fun. And we're really, and this is ex going exactly as we expected. And you guys were asking the funniest questions, which is great. So usually by now, everybody seems to be settling in, and there a lot of people are deep in the work. We know that some of you who are not posting, it doesn't mean you're actually not doing your work. So it's a deepening of the process, and you're over the hump. So I can tell you from now on, it's a very different experience in this course. And you're going to be moving into a lot more processing in terms of that intimacy. You're no longer kind of figuring things out and how things are going to go. You're really in it now. And we've been keeping an eye on everybody. I know therapy was easier, Colby. This is better than therapy. Oh, Maggie, this is your third time doing personal mastery. I love that. And that, by the way, says a lot for us and means a lot to us that so many students come back and take the course again. So we love it. So what we're noticing is that you guys are starting to post more, which is really, really great. So we want to talk a little bit about the idea of grit is and what that actually means and why we kind of say the pearl, not the grit. And somebody asked a fantastic question. in the main hall, and I'm going to pull it up for Doug sent it to me. Where is it, Doug? Where is it? It's in my messages. Here it is. Okay, awesome. Where is my Zoom? Okay.
It's from Lizzie. Yeah, Lizzie Oliver.
Yes, from Lizzie Oliver. I just have to find it again. So, and Lizzie wrote the best question ever. I love some, okay, so listen. So I'm going to read this to you guys, right? The grit is not about not telling a story. We want to make sure you get that, that it's not saying you're not allowed to tell a story. But how you tell the story is to go from the grit to the pearl. What we mean by grit is when somebody just posts the victim story and says, can somebody help me? Right? Like I'm a perfect example of that. So if I left my story at that I was gang raped when I was 19 and that I had all this violence in my early 20s and how it made me feel and I have all these bad relationships and things like that, and they go, can somebody pull a card for me and help me? That's the grit. But if I were to say the same story again and say what it did was a couple of things, that I had a near-death experience and I was able to leave my body and I found it was easier for me to tune in intuitively, and it also showed me that I had to really work on forgiveness and being accountable in my way for choosing people that could possibly challenge me without, you know, boundaries, because as a result of that, I had difficulty with boundaries. So being able to share the pearl, saying like, and here's what I did for that. You know, I watched my oracles. I did I stayed clean and sober. I went to therapy. I did these things. And the revelation that I had was that I was the common denominator post the experience in creating these same realities in order for me to get onto the other side. So this is how you share the grit and the pearl. You tell the story but not in a general way. You don't share all the details, right? And you don't share, like I didn't tell you all the details. I gave it to you generally. Here's what happened. Here's what I was like, here's what happened to me, and here's what I'm like today. And here's how I processed through that, and here's my pearl. So we always have to go back over before we post. We say, okay, am I just posting the victim story, or am I posting the process that I went through to go from the grit to the pearl? And that's what we mean. Because what happens is we just post the story of being a victim or being emotionally abused or being emotional or whatever. What happens, it's like we stick ink in a clear glass of water, because there's no resolution around it. It's no longer dropping a pearl in the water. It's dropping some ink, and it's muddy. It muddies the water, because then we don't get to the other side. So that's why we sort of do that. Now, Lizzie Oliver asked a great question, and I'm going to answer that because I think she asked it in a beautiful way in front of everybody. So I'm going to actually say the question. So I would like to better understand the story process. We are humans make our distinctive difference by certain facilities that allow us to place meaning upon things. So true. And I'm going to stop there. So whatever meaning, like I may have seen the meaning of those experiences and the sexual violence that I had in my early 20s, and I'm telling you, there was a lot. So like I should not be alive. So I had a lot of trauma in my early 20s. So if I were to tell you what that meant, well, in my 20s, until I got clean and sober, that meant I was a victim and that I was meant to have that experience, right? That was going to be my experience. And that meant that I was wounded and that the world did something to me and it happened at me. That's the meaning that I would have placed upon that experience. But today, the meaning that I place on that experience is so different. And I think that's what's really crucial to represent a story. So when you were saying it is in this capacity, not only cognitive, but emotional, that either fulfills or restricts us, or somewhere in between, it can fulfill both and restrict. So the journey of life is somewhat about reframing the meaning in order to gain greater freedom, 1,000%. You are 100% on target with this, to live in oneness with our greater self and therefore universal source, whatever that is known as. Brilliant. In essence, to live at peace with ourselves, also brilliant. Part of that process is about linked to what I currently understand to be the unique balance of individual identity and universal oneness. Put another way, it's about raising our vibrations, which by default means letting go of all that vibrates at the lower frequencies. All of this to say, I'm attempting to refine my process of communication, master the art of sharing. And that's not easy, by the way, because it takes a little bit. I could easily quite chunk up things and just cite my learning pearl, which is not what we're really going for. However, something happens for me when I self-disclose my struggle. Yes, well, nobody would identify with you if you didn't say somehow, like you can't identify with somebody if you don't in a general way describe this, right? So you want to be able to describe your struggle, but not tell the details and be in it, right? And I love what you said, yes, without getting stuck in the story. It helps me identify with others while distinctively owning my own story and how it is evolving. So far, so good. Could you please further clarify these dynamics in order to assist me to better understand the process of what we are doing? I understand that it is about re-identifying with our greater self and letting go of the victim story. So far, so good. However, for me, it was very powerful to actually share that I was struggling with stuff. And while others can't comment, I was sharing me with them and felt like we were all on this journey together. So I'm assuming that, I can't know because you're not here, unless you are here, in which we could have you come on. But if your post was removed, it may be because you only posted about struggling and instead of asking for, oh, not removed. Oh, hey, Lizzie. Okay, wait, let's get Lizzie up. I saw her. I see her. Okay, let's bring her up. It'd be a lot easier to talk. Can you bring her up, Doug?
Yeah, I did. Just did. She's being coming on to panelists now, Lizzie.
Awesome.
There she is.
Hey, hi, Lizzie. Such a great post.
Thank you.
I loved your post. It was so good. I was like, oh my God, this person is so smart. I love it. Okay, so refining it, certainly by what you described, you know all this like the back of your hand. But I understand that still we're in a group and we want to be able to communicate with others and find a way to identify. So when we share our story, what we want to do is share our experience, our strength, and our hope. So in other words, here's my experience. Now let's just say you experienced something, because I don't know what the post was, and you were struggling with something and you didn't put hashtag mentor, like you just posted it in there. If you had posted hashtag mentor, someone could then come in and respond to you. Let's say like, oh, hey, no. So tell me, why don't you just tell me exactly?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong. I haven't been, had a post removed. I'm just trying to understand what's behind it. Like I haven't done anything wrong. I'm just wanting to
to learn. Perfect. So let me tell you the philosophy of this. How's that? Okay. So there is a philosophy behind and it starts with empathy overload, right? So it really starts with the fact that 90% of the students are empaths. Mm-hmm. So if someone posts and only posts the grit, let's say, right? The grit meaning like, oh my God, I'm having so much trouble. I can't, the tech is wrong and I can't do this and blah, blah, blah. And why is this? And where's module 3? And I can't get into my phone or something, right? then leave it at that, then everybody feels it, right? Everybody feels it. The other way of doing it would be like, I couldn't get through my tech and the thing went off and I was very frustrated, but then I pulled a card and the card basically told me to chill the F out. And boy, was I mad, but then I wasn't, right? You know what I mean? So then the pearl is the process, right? The pearl is the process. So what it does is that everybody can then go, oh, yeah, Lizzie, I've been there too. Oh, that's cool. Right. Pull a card. Good idea. And now, isn't that cool that it said breathe? Right. Maybe that was your card that said breathe. Like turn, like, right. So you, Doug, you can carry on too.
Yeah. Well, I just think this is such a great question, Lizzie. We really loved it when it came in. And one of the things that I think is so important is that grit and pearl are also about where, as Colette said, about where you are in the process. So It's about the point of view or your vantage point. If you're still in it and you're still processing it, you might be overly identified with the emotions of the story rather than the result of the story, of where you've gotten from the learning. Maybe it's not the result, but the learning from what happened. And so what we want to do is really focus on sharing when we're at a place of learning and aha. We love the ability to share those things about how we got here. I often talk about some of my own stories as well, whether it's trying to be straight for 12 years, which didn't work, in case anyone wondered. In the process of going through a lot of painful therapy that was not therapy, But that process is not about staying stuck there. It's about realizing I'm okay exactly as I am. And that's the aha that I had for myself. So what we want you to do is really make sure you notice where you are in your own process and share it from the learning. Another way to think about it is from the learning, what have you learned from this? And kind of think about that vantage point that you're at as well.
And the other thing too, imagine that we're all in a circle, and there's some things that I've borrowed from experiences I've had in other programs in schools, because I study a lot too, and I've been through all kinds of things. And what I found, and I've studied something called nonviolent communication, which you guys, if you're interested, and it sounds like you're interested, Lizzie, that's a great book for you to read, because it talks about how do we share in a group. How do we share to identify? But what we don't want to identify is the victim piece, even though somebody might say, wow, I haven't processed that yet. I'm there right now. Thank you. Because that's where their head's going to go, right? So we're sort of setting this up so that your understanding of sharing is really about, here's my process. And you can even say, you know, I'm not on the other side of this yet, but I totally get why I'm doing it. And then what it does is it diffuses the edgy thing that can happen when people are in a desperate, chaotic state of mind, which, by the way, everybody's being conditioned to be in a desperate, chaotic state of mind, right? It's like, so we're really trying to watch that, because if you go on social media, Lizzie, haven't you noticed, like, everybody's nuts.
Yep. It's like need rules, and then need is about shame. And it's just like, shame. They're not going to lead us down the pathway. I'm not okay. And so
right.
What we're looking at here is that cohesive sense of identification with part of me that I'm not okay with. It's okay to be not okay with it, but it's not okay to stay there. And it's about... that process. And it's like, that's the purpose of this whole learning structure is to refine that process.
Exactly. And by the way too, Lizzie, I mean, everybody has come because our school, the rooms, the halls are the special school rooms are, your houses are on Facebook. So it's kind of, it's feels a little strict in the beginning, the way we're trying to get everybody to, but everybody comes from one Facebook mindset to ours where it's, and over here and the one everybody goes, it's nuts, right? They say anything. You notice how people will say anything. Just on a thread I was reading the other day about somebody helping a puppy. There were people that were like shaming each other. It was crazy. So we know that's not a safe place to be. Unfortunately, and fortunately, is that our houses are also on Facebook. So it's learning a different style of communicating in a place where everybody else is used to doing it another way. Right. And so it's awkward in the beginning. It really is a bit awkward. And we know that. So, but you seem to understand this perfectly.
Cool. That I was playing with it and trying to make sure I was hitting where at the level that you were trying to work at. And then I was trying to analyze for what purpose you're working at that level and what comes next.
Well, and here's the thing too, to add to that. So, we get to a place, it's the way, it's a little bit neutral, the way we share, a little bit more neutral, even though we can still pour our hearts out and saying, okay, so I poured my heart out and I pulled a card and gosh, you know, here's what it reflected back to me. And I totally get where I was at here because this told me where I needed to go. It's like, we don't leave this next part out when we do it, because then it gives us a solution. Even if we haven't fully processed the solution is available. So we always want to have a solution available. Now, say for example, somebody doesn't have the solution and they really need help. That's what hashtag mentor is for. You know, can somebody come and help me? Or Anna will come in, and because she's going in all the rooms and stuff, so she might jump in too or whatever, and there's actual help there. But what we don't help is we don't help emotional content. We're not therapists, and I know you didn't ask that, but I'm just adding it in, right? So we're definitely not therapists. The mentors aren't therapists. They're just students who have been there and have experienced and probably asked the same questions. So to understand the philosophy and the psychology behind what we do, it is to maintain respectful neutrality, even though we're sharing some personal content that could be painful. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Absolutely.
I loved your question. I want to reread it. It was very good. So,
second bit. Did you read the second bit?
Sure. Let's do the second bit. Let's pull the second bit. Doug, will you have her second bit up? Because you there was a lot of good stuff in it.
Yeah. So the second bit is that I have a second monitor. I'm looking at you guys, so I'm looking above the camera here. So apologies for not looking right at you when I'm doing this. But she said, I was wanting to better understand how we, through this program, make lifelong friends. Sort of wondering if I've missed something. Anyhow, just sincerely want to say thank you for being your amazing self and sharing shows generously with us all. You truly inspired me. I watched from a distance for quite some time before jumping in. And before I was bold enough to jump in and own this is where my heart wanted to go. So pleased I did. So lifelong friends, Colette, lots of
awesome. And you can actually ask some of the mentors that. So typically by the end of the course, nobody ever wants to go home. That's how we ended up having to, when we first started it, we ended up with all different versions of letting people stay because nobody wanted to leave. And then people started to know each other in the rooms. Now it's still a little early, right? So it's still a little early. We have now, then people start to post, and then there's two more weeks at the end. But the people who really do it are people who go into shared wisdom, this level two, because they're there now for another 6 months. So it's like by then, and when we have Oracle Palooza, we have people come from all over the world to that, and people meet in person. So, and also when people do the Gina Maria's thing, now we're all related. Look, Brenda Mary said, I'm in Australia, now I have a friend in Canada. So you start to get to know each other as you post. In the beginning, it's a little awkward. And for some people, they thought there was a lot of posting on, who was it? Lenora just wrote something. The learning how not to jump in and help was the best thing I could have ever learned in personal mastery last year. It was so new to me. Best way to post. And I love reading Grit and Pearls together. I learned so much from others. And who is the person that said, my guess is probably no one is as fool as a Facebook troll. True. I feel there was so much emphasis put on what not to say. People were hesitant to share freely. Oh yeah, that's actually only because it was a rule. It was something that was new for people to help people understand how to post. So if you interpreted that as too much of what not, then it's kind of more your own personal experience with the knots and woods. Like Lizzie's experience was very different. So it's more, you know, you're trying to analyze like what's the point and what's the purpose? So apologies, but Connie, I hope this helps clear things up for you. The friends is cool. It's like everybody cried when they met each other in person and stuff. And also in shared wisdom, you guys get together on little Zoom calls yourselves, like when you share readings and things. So you get to know each other on Zoom, like this, only not with me. Right, you're meant to have little groups and stuff, and so we're going to introduce that bit by bit, and that's how come people just fall in love with each other once you start to share readings with each other. Right now, it's still in the baby steps, but we get personal without getting like the victim story is not it, but the personal story is meaningful. Like I think that was a really important point that you pointed out, which is I want to share myself. I want to share what I went through, because then that's how people identify and get to know you.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Crystal said she's been here since the beginning. She didn't want to leave. We couldn't get her to leave. Yes. And very empowering to say, learn to stay in your own lane. Yes. Let's talk about the stay in your own lane. That's really just about being in your own process and having fun, but don't get feeling too much like there's like too much control on you. Like we want you to enjoy yourself and explore. And even if you are asked to redo a post, who cares? It's only to kind of to teach you how a different way to language things. It doesn't mean you're bad or wrong. But lots of people are posting right now, and which is awesome. Yeah. Totally. Great explanation how you can set boundaries and feel safe sharing. Yes. Sorry how not to go down the worry self-doubt path. I didn't quite get that part. Well, receive without the emotional charge. Exactly. You have the thing. Staying in my own lane is good because I will go to help you to avoid myself. That's right. Pat said that. Staying in my own lane is good because I will go to help you to avoid myself. And we've done this. I mean, there's been over 2,000 students that have come through the school now. And I'm telling you, we know that that's what happens because we know this. I've been doing this for 30 years, guys. So we know that the healers are going to want to avoid themselves and make themselves feel better by showing how much they know. Same with the professionals, by the way, too. The people who have the easiest time are people who have never done this before. So let's look at some of the other questions, Doug.
Yeah, so just a couple of other things, just a note from Anna. I think we could kind of wrap up that and then go to the questions from the main hall. You know, guys, just as you get practicing, you start to share, we'll guide you. If we feel like there's a little too much grit, not enough pearl, we'll have that conversation. Don't worry about it, but just remember it's about where you are in the process. Mentors, and we might even suggest that you might want to identify some best practice posts or some posts that are real pearl posts. I had a question come in. So if you see one, mentors, just let your folks know, hey, this is a great example of sharing from a place of the learning or the pearl. Also, just as a reminder, we ask that you not private message the mentors. If you want to talk to them, ask them questions in the house with the hashtag mentor. That's really the best way to post there, and is the best way to place those questions.
Yeah, no shaming, absolutely. Yeah, so in terms of the mentors, this is my rule. I don't allow them to communicate with you guys. You guys can make friends after school is over and whatever. We have really nice boundaries around everybody, and nobody learns if it's done behind the scenes. So that's why you put hashtag mentor, so that it's public in your small house, so that everybody sees how you got through something. So it teaches. So it's kind of like it teaches everybody at the same time. So so they just won't answer you. So if you don't get answered, it's because they're not allowed to answer you. And they may not even see it, because sometimes the messenger goes to something, that little box. Somebody messaged me like 6 months ago. I didn't even know it was there. So.
All right. Ready for some other questions, Colette?
Yes. Let's look at some of those. Okay. They were really good. And by the way, I answer personally on the main hall when you ask questions there. So I'm going to go from Robert Wadley. I'm feeling a little overwhelmed now, not seeing the correlation between the daily anchor cards and the events of the day. How can I get more in tune with the wisdom of the oracle and see the correlations that are eluding me? So Robert, what would be really great to understand is to ask yourself, what could this mean? So if you're looking for the events of the day, remember we talked very early on, and if you haven't watched the In Module Zero, I'm with Robert Marriott, okay. If you haven't seen Module Zero, there is some fantastic webinars in there that talk about, one thing that talks about is your dominant energy. So rather than looking for a correlation between the events of the day, what we want to take a look at is, if you can't see that, so what could it be meaning? What could it be reflecting? For example, one of my friends, I've been teaching her how to do this, and her husband was very sick. So she was looking, asking the cards on her daily cards, and she was really looking at finding another job, but it kept talking about chaos. Now, she really wasn't in chaos. She actually had the best job on the planet. She just was bored and she wanted something else. It was no chaos at all. But that's so she got super confused. And then there was another one where there was loss and there was a sense of like the never ending story. And because her husband was very depressed. So, but she didn't correlate that her daily cards reflected how she was, the energy that was dominating her environment that was not her own. And that's very important for you to learn that. So I would like to see, Marriott, if you said I'm with Robert, I'm not sure what you mean by that. But I would love for you to go back over that, because you probably put them in your journal and say like, oh, what could this mean? Since this doesn't reflect the events of the day, what could it reflect, right? What could it reflect? Are your HM corner sessions scheduled or surprise?
Sorry, that was for Anna Colette.
Sorry, it says to all panelists. Okay. In Module Zero, there was a second page that I found the other day. Lots of great information. Perfect. I was aggravated with my boss trying to give me more work today. I drew chop wood and then not for you. I just laughed. Right? So we know that the cards don't lie. So that's why that question was excellent, Robert, is because they don't lie. So what do they mean? Right? So what are they reflecting? Right? Could this be somebody else? Right? Oh, what did somebody person? I love this person here. A van, somebody said, I love the fact that I wasn't allowed to wallow in my dirty diaper when I joined last year. It's so great to focus on the lessons life offers rather than staying stuck in it. And Colette taught me to fish so I could feed myself. Sometimes I drop the fishing rod, but I pick it back up, dust myself off, and fish again. So much gratitude. Listen, me and Doug have to do the same work as you guys, right? So this doesn't come easy for anybody. It's kind of like looking at what needs to, like, for example, I'm traveling right now and I'm really out of sorts. I'm a Cancerian. I need to know where my home is. And as much as I traveled so much this year, but this trip was particularly hard. I called Anna and I, you know, and I got in my dirty diaper for a second and she goes, did you pull a card? So, and I was like, right, right. So that's all funny. Okay. So Tabby Johnson says, this song, Nothing from Nothing Comes Nothing, keeps coming in her head. How am I to discern what is my very active imagination and the truth of the card? Are they perhaps the same? Monkey brain is a moniker I'm working to change. It's very powerful, and I feel this work will lead to less confusion in my head. Asking too much? This is my friend, Tabby. Yes. So both and. So active imagination comes from our unconscious. You're a creative person. I know you well. I've known you for 40 years. So I know how your mind works. So the idea that, are we projecting? Is this our imagination or whatever? And you have to remember, imagination is a tool. So the conscious universe works through our imagination, works through our intentions. It works through our inspiration. And so they come together. The imagination gets used in order to discern the truth of the card. So they're working together. They work together. And yes, it will lead to a lot less confusion in your head if you do, especially the get on your bird exercise, and you use the meditations on a regular basis. Doug, do you want to read the next card? I mean, the next thing, Jigger?
Yeah, for sure. So this is from Yoko Suzuki, and she says, she has a question on jumpers. Why can we not count on jumping cards? I went through all the modules, but I don't think either Colette or Doug have taught us the specific reason on this thing, which I'm dying to know from module zero. So I think we're at a place where we can talk about jumpers. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, you can use the jumpers now. We're at the third. It's only in the beginning that we don't want you to use them, just to simplify things for yourself. So we've done three modules. We're in break week. You can totally use your jumper cards if you want. I just wanted to train you how to use the cards differently, since you used your jumper card, or one of the persons there made sure that their jumper card was the card. So the jumper card for us is an extra card, not the card. So it's a jumper, you put it to the side. Yeah, and Deborah Gray, if you have read module three, you're pulling three cards now. So you're not pulling, the anchor card is always your daily card, is different from the other cards that you're going to do. And yes, Babs, do you think that we should look at accumulation of pulled cards over days to find a bigger meaning? Yes, you can. And that is, of course, what, if you look at your journal at the end of the course, you will see that. So,
another part to Yoko's question about jumpers, which I love, Colette, I want to just read it because I think it's really important, because she has this thought that I think is really interesting. She says, and this is my own assumption of why Colette is telling us to put the jumping cards back or just put it aside. Could this be because relying on jumping cards could reinforce your pattern of giving away your power to the cards? Yeah. Over the 10 years I've been carving for myself, I made it a rule that the jumping card or cards will give me the answer for my question. This went very well until I began this.
Okay, okay, so I need to address this right now. Okay, so you have a whole other conversation going on here. So we're not, that your way of using jumper cards or something that you decided that would be the way you pull your card, your first card. That has nothing to do with the jumper cards that we talk about. And no, it has nothing to do with whether or not giving your power over to the card. You made a if you make a decision that the jumper card is your anchor card and it jumps out of your card deck, and this is prior to this course, then that's how you did your readings. All you're doing now is learning a different way of doing it. For us, a jumper card is an extra card. So right now we just said, just put it back in the deck and learn to choose, or learn to use synchronicity. The way you described it is that was your way of working with synchronicity. Hi, Holly. Holly Rose is on the call just now. So yeah, so I it's really just because in your head, that was the way you did it. Would you agree with me, Doug?
Yeah, I think so. I do think what I really liked about what she said is that when she started saying, I choose the card, when she said that, you know, she was saying that it stopped jumping, and she thought that was really helpful for her. So I think one of the things that I think is important is that this is a partnership. And yes, one thing we talk about is it is a co-creative partnership with the Oracle and with the deck and with Spirit and with you. And so it's important to remember that you are in partnership. If you give your power too much to any of these parts, right, then you might be in a place where you're not owning your personal responsibility in the process. So I think that is important to remember, we have personal responsibility in that. So
actually, I love that you said that. That made it even more sense than what I was saying, because it's a partnership. I think that was the missing link. And also I didn't read the last part that she said, which was when I choose the card, because it's true. That was actually true. Now that I went back over what you said about giving your power away, in a way you were. It was like, well, if it jumps out, I'm not responsible. It jumped out of the card deck itself. Right? So I will say this about jumper cards. So let's discuss what that means. Not everybody gets jumper cards. Like I always say, if it falls to the floor, it comes to the door. So something is meaningful. Something is meaningful with that card, but it just came out. So if you want to exactly build your confidence, don't rely on the jumper cards. But now at this stage, you know, here we are, it's week four. If a jumper card shows up, I think, is Anna talking to me here? Hang on a sec. Yes, put them back. They're not extra special. Like they're not extra special. They're kind of like, oh, that's an extra card. That's interesting. I wonder what else it's going to tell me, but it's not the main focus. So, and in your case, Bab says you find your jumper cards are basically slap in the face saying, listen up. Typically, jumper cards they're curious cards. And sometimes, to be quite honest with you, sometimes a jumper card is like, I don't know what that was for. So they're not a big deal. So I'd rather you guys don't make it a big deal, but make a note. Oh, I wonder if this can tell me something extra. So what else could it be? Yeah. When doing a multi-card shuffling once, you can shuffle. La, la, la. There's so many things coming in. Okay. I just realized Anna was here. She just texted me. Okay. So can I pull a daily card, but then reshuffle? Yes. You always have to put it back and reshuffle. How can you tell when a jumper card is meant to be, or if you're just bad at shuffling? You feel it. Like, I know, honestly, I know. Like,
I ask, actually.
Yeah, me too. You know, you ask.
You're not. No, put it back, you know?
You feel it. Like, you really feel it. You feel it. So we just don't want you guys to make a big deal about the jumper card. It's always that's interesting. Exactly. Thank you, Emily Reed. Yeah.
All right, perfect. So some more questions?
Yes, you bring up that thing again? And
I can. I've got it here. And I've got some other questions that have come in. While we're talking about jumpers, someone said, what's the difference between a clarification card and a jumper?
Let's do that. Yeah. Okay. So a clarification card is when you personally choose another card. For example, I'm not 100% sure what this means. I need more information. Then you choose the clarification card that's going to clarify the meaning of the card, the anchor card. So it's the second card. And actually, Doug, pull a card for what do I need to know about my meetings on Thursday?
Okay.
Yeah. What did Anna say? If you go a whole bunch, you're just bad at shuffling. I love that. That's very funny.
I got come to the edge and upright, Colette.
Ooh, okay. So I'm going to be taking a risk. Now, what does that mean? I'm going to take a risk. So Doug, I need you. Could you pull me a clarification card that will give me more information about what risk do I need to take?
Here and now.
Ah, okay. Be really present. I am taking a risk, just so you know, that was very good. I am going to be doing something that's different. I've never done before. And I just need to stay present in the room. That's really good. Take the risk, but be present. Don't get stuck in the future of what might happen after those meetings happen. Bingo. Okay. So let's see who else is in here and maybe we can pull somebody else up.
Yeah, as a reminder, daily anchor cards, and then do the additional three card readings about specific questions as in the Module 3 home play, guys. So you still do your daily anchor card, but the three cards are for specific questions you might have. We had a couple of people asking that same question, so just want to address that.
Yeah, and if you don't know what your card is saying, then that means you're not letting it reflect, or you haven't percolated on it. So this person said, I don't get what my card is. I drew another card, still no clue. My cards were for Observer and the next card is Yang. Like, so without knowing anything, my question was, what do I need to know today? So stay in the Observer, which stays detached and watch the world, you know, move in front of you without being in a neutral way, and then take appropriate action when you need to. And that's simple. That's very simple. So say you can actually pretend, by the way, sometimes it's you can pretend that you are looking at cards for somebody else. You can pretend that. What would these mean to another person? And then that way it's like, oh, it could be this, it could be that. And then you can bring it back to yourself going like, oh, now I get it. Right? Like that was just easy. And in a nutshell, this is what it says. And then that. So it's action after the observer. Once you are observing and you are detached, then you can take an action. That was for Kat. So I love her to say, do we need to do the 3-card spread every day? No, you do not. No, you're just learning different ways of doing 3 cards. So your 3-card readings are more about learning how to use them. All those different, remember I gave you 3 cards with, I don't know how many different card positions. So it's really for you to learn the positions, not so much about, it's really about the variation. You pick one and see, and then you learn like, oh, how, what would it mean if it was these 3? So it's really for you to understand and rather than do more earth shattering readings. Simple. Yes, that's right. Deanne said for me, it's sometimes it's just simple. Might not be an earth shattering card every day. Exactly. Do you put the first card back and reshuffle? No, I always pull another clarification card.
Yeah. If you're doing a single reading, so a card plus a clarification or a 3-card spread, if you're doing 3, then you only shuffle once and pull all the cards in that layout or in that spread. So in that case, you don't do it. But just as a reminder, anchor card and 3 cards are 2 separate spreads. So you treat those differently.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you'll get the hang of it. It's like, what's my card for the day? Oh, well, that's interesting. And then it's like, oh, so you don't pull the clarification card right away, either on an anchor card. But if you're asking a specific question, you don't get it. And you're at, so couldn't you use the same three cards to answer all the 3-card spreads? Well, if you're learning it, you could. If you want to apply those and see the different meanings of it, but explain what you mean by extra versus clarification. An extra card is a jumper card that flew out of the deck that may or may not have any relevance. And the clarification card is one that you actually choose because you want more clarity on the card you picked. Should we pull the cards one at a time or shuffle in between? I don't shuffle the cards in between.
It depends on the spread, Sammy. If you're doing a 3-card spread, then you shuffle and you draw. And the way I do it, this is just what works for me, but I take, after I've shuffled and I'm doing 3 cards, I divide the deck into 3 stacks and I draw 1 card from each stack. Now that's my approach. You could just draw from the same deck 3 separate cards, but I don't reshuffle after I've done that. So you just pull in that way. I'm wondering, Colette, do you want to bring up someone else maybe to practice a 3-card reading with some folks or practice some clarification cards?
Let's get this Ivy up because she's having a trouble understanding us. IVI.
Let's see if we can find
extra mean.
Well, we're going to find out. Ivy, you're coming on.
The second, yeah. There's Ivy. Hi, Ivy. We love you. Okay, so, alrighty. So let's talk about the extra card and let's play with this, all right? So we're gonna do a card for you and then we're gonna just BS an extra card, okay? So we'll just show you what it's like, only we're gonna bullshit it, okay? So, all right, so we're gonna pull a card for you. What time of day is it where you are?
It's 6:41.
Where do you live?
Austin, Texas.
Oh, you and Doug are at the same time zone. Okay. So it's 2 p.m. for me. Okay, perfect.
I'm right up by you.
Oh, no, it's awesome. Great energy out here.
Okay, so let's pull a card for you for what does Ivy need to know about working with cards? How about that? That's a great question, right? Everybody's loving you in here, so.
Thank you. So do I just speak myself?
No, we did it for you. So we're going to show you the card. So Doug pulled the card for you, which is Truth Be Told. Oh. So with your working with the Oracle cards, their function for you is to tell you the truth and reveal to you what not only what you already know, but what may be hidden from you. So it's the total truth, right?
Right. Okay.
Now, let's pretend a card fell out of the deck when Whoa, Doug just ruined it. And it's chop wood. Now, you'd be looking at that going like, right?
I get that
now,
a lot.
Oh, isn't that funny? Okay, so in this case, you, because you get it a lot, like you're, oh, wow, that means something. It means mm-hmm. you just got to keep working at it. Chop wood, carry water. Chop wood, carry wood. But pull another card, Doug, for anything. Just pull another card for the hell of it. Co-create upside down. So in this case, you'd be looking at it going like, well, actually, that's also very meaningful for you, I think.
Yeah. In this case, so funny. I get that one too.
Okay. So, well, the cards want to talk directly to you, and they want your jumper cards to mean something to you. So that really, both of those felt like, oh, they really are hers. So you'd be looking at that going like, oh, wow, I'm forgetting that I'm in partnership with the universe. I think I have to do this all by myself.
Yeah. I think that's why I'm like, well, clarification versus extra.
No. So here's the deal. Now let's go back to your original truth be told card.
Okay.
Then you ask the deck, right? Because those other ones were obviously plus the universe wanted to say that to you too, in case you weren't paying attention, right? And then sometimes maybe you got like something that just made no sense at all. Like, and that can happen too. So you go like, oh, that gave me a little extra push. That's the extra card. But when you do not understand your card, pretend you don't really totally get truth be told. What more clarity can you get on the card truth be told? Now, how about for fun, you pick a card out of your deck.
Right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. I'll just pick the top one. And I got time to go.
Right. So the clarification is you're spending way too much time trying to analyze it, wondering all the stuff that you have to do. Time to go. Like, stop it. It's like basically the cards are going slap.
Oh, true.
Right. So, right. And time to go means, I think too, sometimes this happens to everybody. So, sometimes what happens is that we try so hard to get it right that we get stuck in our head. And we're trying to make it work instead of just allowing it to speak to us, allowing it, overanalyze, right? Right. The nervousness that comes in, it's like, wait a sec. Like I need to get it right. I need to get it right. What's this course teaching me? I can't get it right. Like that happens because especially for people who want to succeed. Exactly. I'll tell you, I had an experience in that with unified physics theory. I mean, what was I doing in a quantum physics course? But whatever, I took it. And halfway through, I was like, I can't do this. I can't do this. This is too hard. And my card said, time to go. And I was so trying to get it right. Because you see what I'm saying? So it's just kind of like, oh, yeah, right. I don't have to overanalyze this. Plus, I realized that some of it I didn't need to understand because I really got what I needed. So we have to, if we try too hard to understand and we try to be perfect about it, then we kind of get ourselves locked up in a knot.
This
is a clean on for a lot of people, Ivy, too. I think there are other people that have this same experience. So what you, by coming on tonight, you've actually got given some clean ons out for some of the folks in the room, I know.
Yeah. You helped a lot of people. And you got to remember, Ivy, you have to just be yourself and love the process. Exactly. Just let go. And you know what you got to be is hootless. Like, you don't give a hoot. Like, I'm just going to see.
I'm working on it.
Right? When's your birthday?
12/14/80. So I'm Sagittarius.
What's your rising sign or your moon?
Cancer.
There you go. Yeah. Right? You know, you want to be at home. You want to be, like, you know, and Cancers are tenacious and... Because I'm a Cancer.
Pisces moon. So
it's like, you're very psychic and you're all over the place. And then, and your Sagittarius is like all that philosophy and you want to get it. So whatever. So just love all of it and be okay with all of it. And then, here's the other thing. Our motto in Oracle School is, that's interesting. That's interesting. Look at that. Right?
I'm trying to go with the, that's interesting.
Well, you're doing great. Thank you so much for coming on with us.
Thank you.
All right. Hoot, hoot. Okay. So who shall we get next? I love having everybody up. Or do we have more questions on the...
We do have more questions and we can pull more up as well, for sure.
Yeah. I'm enjoying this. Are we having fun? I'm having fun.
Let's see.
Somebody just asked a really good question up there. Can we use the cards to ask small, like, for example, what would be the result if you go to the party tonight? Honey, I used to ask those questions all the time. What would be the result if I stay home? Exactly. And I actually got very clear message not to go somewhere at one point. And I went anyway. And everything happened that was like, oh, wow, like chaos, conflict, whatever, only because... Yeah, so the cards are good at small questions too. What can I expect if I make this choice? So yes, you can totally, you're totally gonna learn how to do that as we go. Yeah, not for you, ignored me. I made these cards and I ignored not for you. That was like, uh-oh.
I've got a couple of questions here from Darlie. A question from Darlie Byron came into the main hall. And it says, in the Get to Know You deck in Module 3, now this is the spread that you do where you're getting to know your deck. I'm curious, when my deck presents itself in the protection position, what is it telling me? Is there any added significance? Or is it telling me it knows me, and when a trouble spot happens, it will give added guidance to help me circumvent it?
Oh, I love that. Yes, 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 and yes. So here's the thing. You're getting to know your deck intimately. You're getting into a relationship with your deck. Now, we have a whole video on protection cards. You need to go watch that. Also, Module 0 with all the extra stuff that we gave you there. Protection cards always means to ask you to slow down and look. Really view, you know, the vantage point that you're approaching. I always say slow down when a protection card comes in. And it's also that I may be thinking in a way that's not in alignment with my highest good. I might be resentful, or I might be stepping into something that I don't need to learn again. So they are protection for real. They are protection. Yeah, next question. Not for you, it can trip one up. Yep, love that card. It wasn't always the case, exactly. I love protection cards. I know in the past, medieval tarot, I mean, the tarot is like a few hundred years old, and it had a tradition that if the cards were upside down, it meant something bad was gonna happen. And that's kind of, we all kind of come from that understanding. Do you ask questions out loud? I do. By myself, out loud.
Mm-hmm. So Colette, we have another question. I think is really an important one to talk about from V. McDonald Batiste. It says, "How far can we go without asking questions about other people, without their permission? I will assume our intention plays a role in the value the message brings to our personal learning and growth." So good to talk about.
You can ask about your relationship to that person, but you can't ask for that person unless they give you permission.
Teaching shared wisdom. So.
Yeah, and shared wisdom, it's different. We approach all that in level 2.
Right.
Okay. Why no health questions? Because they weren't designed to answer health questions. And health questions are very specific. And so I never created my decks to answer health questions. So, and you run the risk of not really understanding what the cards mean. Because when people ask about health questions, they will tend to project what they want or what they're afraid of. So we just don't. I did a read before I knew the process. I did the correct read once I learned more. The flow is mind boggling. I follow the second one correct. Yes, that must be Tabby. Tabby Johnson, oh yeah, baby. You did it once you got it. Mm-hmm. I have not done my get to know your deck spread yet. Is this something I should be with all my decks in the beginning of using them? I suggest it because you're in a relationship with the deck and the deck. Now, I give birth to these things, and as crazy as it sounds, they're alive to me and they have personalities. And if you use different decks, they feel like different. They talk to you in a different way. And Sammy, if you want to redo your get to know your deck spread, sure. I've actually redone my deck spreads like once a year. I redo my decks to see if they're meant to speak to me. At the end of the year, I say, which one feels right to me? Or which one do I want to use? That's the other one. Are you going to speak to me? Are you going to speak to me? They all feel different. But they all work together. One thing you guys should know, every single one of my decks were created so that they could work as a huge council. So every time I make a new one, it has to speak to the other ones. So I think I'm the only person that creates Oracle cards that does that specifically.
Colette, we have a question about the 3-card reading, and I'm wondering if it might be something we could bring someone up to talk about as well.
Sure, you can go ahead, grab somebody.
Okay, so let me first see if the person who asked the question is in the call. Is Lori Shriver in the call? Let's see, Lori here.
I will say this about the wisdom of the Oracle deck is the most comprehensive. So this deck was specifically created to be a teaching deck. And it is the most comprehensive of all my decks. So give it time. Give it time to connect to this.
Can you ask? Lori's not here, but I definitely want to do a three card. I think it'd be good to do a three card reading and talk about that briefly. If you'd like to have a three card reading, could you just raise your hand and we'll kind of walk through that process with you and talk about that so we can just randomly pick from within that group.
Everybody's putting their hand up. Great.
Yeah, we'll let folks raise their hand and then we'll pick one in a minute.
Yeah, perfect. That's a great idea. It's better to teach with people on the call. Colette's Collective. I love that. Oh, I love that. Sometimes if I need clarification ask Wisdom of the Avalon. We don't do that yet, guys. That comes later using a second deck. Yeah, they connect. Okay, so right now we're at the stage in this course where we're only using Wisdom of the Oracle, just for now. And we want everybody to be working with the same deck. What is Getting to Know You deck? It is in Module 3. The Goddess deck is coming out in February. No.
Right. I'm going to go ahead and randomly pick one, Colette. So you ready for that?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to just scroll up and down and we'll pick one. And I'm picking Dana Fullman Manning. So Dana Fullman Manning, you're coming on to panelists. Here you go.
I know Dana Manning. Dana!
Too funny.
How are you?
I'm good. And I knew you were going to pick me.
I have known Dana. I don't know. How long have I known you?
Since May.
Oh, just since May?
Yeah, Stars and Cards.
Right. Oh, wow. That's right. You know, sometimes you get into a room because we have these small workshops Deborah Silverman and I do together. So it's like you think you know that person because I know your Progress Moon, et cetera, et cetera. So it was only then. Oh, that's so funny. All right. So let's do a three-card reading for you. Only you're going to pick your cards.
Oh, you want me to do it with my deck?
Yeah.
I don't have it in my hand. Hang on.
Okay.
So while Dana's doing that, I just want to remind you, this is in the Getting to Know You and the three-card reading are in the home play for Module 3. So once you've completed Module 3, these will be available to you. And in the video, Colette does 8 different examples of three-card readings. Right. And so they're not meant, I just want to be clear, we had a couple of questions where people thought, am I supposed to do all 8 of these? No, these are different types of three-card readings.
That you could do. You could use, and then I showed you how the cards would change depending on where they sat. Right. Like in, and so it's just good for you to learn those, and also how a card would its meaning would be nuanced a little different if it was in a different position, right? So that's what that was it, right? Exactly. Okay, there's Dana.
Okay, so here's my biggest challenge with my cards. I have a hard time doing this.
Okay.
And then I never am sure because I don't have a feeling of where to pick. I also do the app a lot, which is, I feel like cheating.
No, the app is great. The app was made for you. I use my app all the time. The app was created. Then use your app.
Yeah, I love the app.
I use the app. If you're more comfortable with your app, pick your three cards from your app.
Okay.
I think the issue that you're having is that they're in your hands, etc. You have more of a sense. Yes, it's on iTunes, you guys. Woto is on iTunes. But if you're more comfortable with the technology of an app, it works exceptionally well, exactly what Angela Kirby's. And it's all I use when I'm on the road is my apps.
Well, and then I pull my card and I save it and date it.
Good for you.
Yeah, and it just kind of works for me.
Yeah, I mean, but... like you can totally shuffle it in a million different ways too. But seriously, if you're really comfortable with the app, let's use the app. Do with what you love. There's a lot of people that don't like the app at all. So,
and the my hands don't seem big enough.
There you go. Well, there you go. You can feel. You can sense the cards on the app too.
Yeah, and I hang there with the card chooses you. So my first card is Serendipity. Upright.
Great. Doug, come on. I want you to add in this one.
Are you kidding me? Dana, seriously, like, trust that it's like if there is ever a card that is to answer that question about trusting that you're the right card, you pulled Serendipity. So I'm just going to bring up the deck just to.
Oh, that's funny.
It's like the awareness of synchronicity, a magical alignment of events, luck and good fortune. Like, this is absolutely a card to say, yeah, you got this. You got it. Like, that is what, in your case, it's saying that you're in a space of opportunity aligned with readiness. You've got what you need to do to trust yourself on that.
And so that's what all of my cards have been coming up with, except for get some stuff done, Dana. Clean this out, you know, which I try to do, but I'm such a scatterbrain.
Right there is that it's giving you good, solid advice, but you're saying, but I'm such a scatterbrain. So what it's going, then you have the opportunity to use a meditation, right, to unscatter your brain. So we're giving you more than one tool, right, in order to help you get out of scatterhead. Right. And everybody's scattered lately because it's that time of year and the elections are coming up in states, especially even if you're Canadian, there's all kinds of stuff that's going around globally. So how do I get out of scatterbrain? Right. The scatterbrain doesn't have to be your current story. It's I hate to say this, but sometimes scatterbrain is an excuse.
Well, and part of my issue is my progressed moon is in Capricorn and it's making me get all kinds of things done, which is really not my nature because I'm an Aries and I just go with it, you know.
But this is also a way to help you get things done, okay. Right? So that the cards will help your progressed moon in Capricorn because they give you tangible evidence through serendipity for you to take appropriate actions and think a different way. So it's actually quite practical for your progressed moon in Capricorn.
Okay.
The Aries wants to get it done fast and right immediately like that. So that's the problem, is that the juxtaposition between the Capricorn progressed moon and your Aries. Now, even though this is stars and cards, this is not the class that we're in at the moment, but I'm just saying that this is probably part of the issue, right? And you're uncomfortable with the actual card. So just give yourself some time with that, but you already know you can get to the point with that. What were your other two cards?
Just a sec. Okay. Second card, go the distance in protection.
And what was the third card?
Oh, I went back. Okay. Imagine in protection.
Okay, so let's just tell you the story. So it's, first of all, it's telling you to trust the synchronicity is true. And then these two, remember the card tells a story. The card from the first card, the second card, and the third card. Now we just did a general three-card reading, kind of like just like tell me a story. So it's reminding you that not to catastrophize, which is the imagine in protection, to remember to, which is what you're saying, I can't get it right. My brain is scattered. That statement, your old story was your imagine in protection. And what was the other one in protection? The middle card?
I don't remember.
Doug, do you remember?
Go the distance.
Oh, the distance, which is like that for the Aries. Aries doesn't go the distance. Aries is a sprinter. All right, you're a sprinter, and the Capricorn moon is forcing you to go the distance, but you're not comfortable yet. You want to be comfortable in it, and it's causing you to feel all these things. But what your job is to keep plodding along and go the distance.
You told me was to slow down, and that's, you know, I'm working.
Yeah, good. There you go.
Letting go of things that don't matter, too. That's the other thing of go the distance and protection, right? Is that what are you holding on to that is keeping you from trusting the serendipity that we started with? Like, is it an old story? Is it an old way of thinking? Is there something you're holding on to that's getting in the way of that? And so when you think about it, does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So thank you so much for coming on, Dana. I hope that was helpful. Tabby Johnson did say, how much does your astrological chart knowledge feed into WOTU readings? Right now, nothing. She just brought it up. I happen to know this stuff. I'm teaching another course. She was at a course I taught with Deborah Silverman. That's why she brought it up. But that is no bearing on any of you right now. The meditations I would recommend for scatterbrain, the Sound of the Sun meditation has an actual, the buzzing in the background is the sound of the sun from NASA. It was the recordings of the audio recording of the sound waves. That is going to make you relaxed and get your very focused, very, very focused. The other one, of course, is get on your bird because you're in neutrality then. So get on your bird. And scatterbrain is monkey brain. Correction. Correctamundo. Monkey brain is scatterbrain. Yeah, protection prayer before pulling a card. I always make a statement that I am, you know, make me a channel for your divine clairvoyance and myself. I am nothing. Spirit doeth the works. Relieve me of the bondage of self so that I may better do thy will. Let there be light. Let there be only the highest good. So that's what I say. Get on your bird, exactly. So more questions, Doug. Let's bring some more people up. This is fun.
Sorry, can you just explain that we do have the two meditations. You recommend that we do every other day. You alternate between the two, just to be clear, starting with empty to be filled, doing it four times a week, and sound of the sun three times a week. So just know that that's the only thing we want to make sure that you do is you're alternating between those two every other day.
Yeah. And that was interesting that somebody said that they felt sad when they listened to the sound of the sun meditation. I love melancholy music. So I'm singing and that in the background there, that was me singing. So, and I love the kind of force from Gregorian chants, et cetera. So there is a little bit of a tension in there. So there is a teeny bit of melancholy in the music. Yeah, but it's not, it's about opening. It's about, so empty to be filled. Remember, we're releasing, we're surrendering to the universe. We're just letting go, saying, thy will be done through me. Thy will, not mine, be done. Like the form is in your hands is why you're doing that. And then it's like, okay, then I'm empty. And then the next one, of course, is allowing yourself to be, you know, in that healing experience with the sound of the sun.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and pull another one, Colette, from the list, just randomly. We're going to pull Lenora, actually. Lenora.
Oh, yeah, Lenora. I wanted to say something to her, too. She posted something. Oh, we're going to bring her up?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Hi, Lenora.
Hi,
darling. You actually made a really good point earlier, and I was thinking about you, and then it went away. So what was your last comment, besides I love the sound of the sun? Hang on, I'm trying to find you in here.
Something about shuffling the cards.
Oh, here it is. Here it is. You said, I don't have the cards in hand because I only have Android devices. By the way, Woto is on Android.
Oh, is it?
It's a Google Play. Yeah. Hay House has not figured out how to create apps for iPhone and Google Play, but that is not a Hay House product. That is a Ocean House Media or Beauty Way product. They have and until they take it off the market, so you can get the Android and you will always work. Yeah, you can get Google Play.
Because I just saved your websites and where they are. I just have my phone with it and go to the
address
and use it whenever I have to. But I actually have a little carrying case that I carry my cards around with me all the time.
I love that.
So I'm very seldom without them.
I like to use my app, but sometimes when I'm going to my friend's house or something, I carry my actual cards and I put it in a little velvet pouch and whatever, it's in my purse. So I get it. But
Yeah, I have a little blue case that I look for so that they would be protected. And I don't always have them in their box, but I'll carry just this in the case with a little pretty thing around it in the case so that they fit.
Perfect. Anyway, so Doug, do you think we could do one specific, like a specific, pick your three versions?
So looking at the home play activity, do you have a specific situation that you'd like to ask a question about, that you'd like to know more about, or a specific relationship that you have with someone else you'd like to know?
Can everybody see my room? Carol's up. Okay, sorry. Self-conscious.
You're perfect.
There's been a very, I've got a question been going around my head that I have been actually very worried to ask about because I don't know if I'm neutral and I can't seem to get neutral about it. Or when I have asked in the past, I'm afraid every time I've pulled, it's not been neutral.
Okay. Can we ask the subject that it's about? Is it a love relationship?
No, it's about finishing my master's class.
Okay.
It's about continuing school. And it's about taking up more student loan to finish.
That's a big thing. That's a big thing.
Yeah, it's will this further me, or is it just taking up more money?
Well, you can't ask, will it? So that's the way you ask the question can't be a yes or no answer, right? So it's really, what do I need to know for my highest good about taking out another student loan to complete my master's?
Can I write that down?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I don't want to take all this time because...
No, we got you on here so that you could take up some time. Okay. Yes. And you can watch this video again. Remember, you can watch it again, which is, so you're going to be at, I don't remember what, anyway, close to the end, like 20 minutes before the end of the call is when you should look for yourself. Okay. So
the
question is, what do I need to know about taking out another student loan? What do I need to know for my highest good about taking out another student loan to complete my master's? What do I need to know, basically? So everybody gets afraid if they're afraid of the answer, right? Or they want it to be a certain way. And plus, your identity is tied up in your master's,
yes,
right? So that's why, I'm just telling you why I know it's hard to be neutral, because you think without that, you're not going to be the person you wanted to become.
Yeah. Because who am I? Right?
I came from an academic family and I went to law school. I totally understand this. I had a huge chip on my shoulder, and just until even recently, that I didn't finish my psychology degree. So there you go. So Doug is going to pick your three cards. Oh. Or should we get her to pick her cards?
I've got them picked already, if that's all right.
That is perfectly fine.
Okay.
Please. So here's what I did. I used the reading of current situation, hidden influences, and highest good. So let me just check. Does that make sense, Colette?
Yes. Yes. Good choice.
Okay.
Current situation, hidden influences, and highest good.
So when I do current situation, I have clean it up in protection, right? So
cleaning up a lot.
Yeah, well, there's a reason for that.
I was going to read it.
So when you look at clean it up in protection, it talks about, are you focused too much on other people right now? Are you trying too hard to be helpful? Does taking on what belongs to others make you feel needed or desired? Perhaps you think it's your calling to relieve people of their burdens, but what is the cost to you and to them? Don't clean up someone else's side of the street. You're not helping by freeing him or her of responsibility. You're also not doing yourself any favors. You just might be adding an even greater strain. You are loved as you are. You don't need to be needed to be loved. So part of what this, if I were to interpret that card in the context of your question, what that tells me is that you are exactly as you need to be. And in current situation, you're in a place of like questioning even that. So it's really, I think it's kind of a reminder, whatever this degree is, it's not about making you, like helping you love yourself anymore. You are already fully complete and fully loved and fully present. That's the current space of that. And it's also a check, and I don't know if this is true for you, Lenora, is there any aspect of this that's about expectations from other people? Are you doing this because someone said you should do this, or someone has a story that you have told that's about that? Does that make sense?
Yes, that does.
Okay.
That does.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's just the current, right? Anything you want to share? I see some emotion going on there.
I've been pulling it. I've been asking that question. I have been afraid of the pulse thinking, okay, what do I need to clean up? Who am I taking for others? I never looked at mine. That's a different interpretation that I didn't look at.
Yeah.
And that hits. That's exactly, it's like a piece of the puzzle sliding in. Goes.
Yeah.
So now, to slid down and hit.
The second card is hidden influences. And I really love, when I first saw this this position in Colette's first deck, Wisdom of Avalon, I love this because for me, it's like the things that we may think we understand what it's about, but we really don't. And here's what it's really about. And for you, it's chop wood upright. So what this situation is about, like what do you need to know about completing your master's is, your time right now is to focus on just be grounded in everyday experience. It's do the work, work the process, do what you need to do. And if we look, it says there are times when the big dream is meant to lie dormant in your consciousness so that you can pay attention to the simple chores in your life. Consider why pruning a tree is the forerunner of delighting in the beautiful blooms when it is in full blossom. The mundane act of pulling off dead leaves, watering the soil, and then leaving it to be to let nature take its course is an important step in manifestation. Listen up. Taking your attention away from your goal brings you into a state of receptivity. This is the deeper purpose for releasing attachment. When you engage in everyday tasks in a meditative, contemplative way, you clear your energy to receive aha moments, which bring you even closer to what you seek. Do you want to talk about that card, Colette? I think that's pretty right there on the money there for that one.
I was just thinking, when did I channel these messages? I'm like, oh, this is so good. So here's what I'm going to, with this card, I will say this, and I know it's so important for you. I'm linking these two cards together, that you took on an idea that you would somehow be less than if you didn't complete this. Would you say that's true?
So and
you were given enough information that told you you would either be punished in some way, like psychically punished or somehow, right? You would, that something bad was going to happen if you didn't do it.
It's like starting a race and not finishing.
Right, exactly. You had to
halfway
finish.
Halfway through, you know.
I understand.
Do I finish? Yeah.
So here's the thing. The second card is saying you need to take a breath. The second card is saying you need to step out of this. Take your head out of asking the question and just let yourself be. The chop wood card is, don't even look at that. Wash your dishes, clear your house, like clutter, declutter. Don't even look, do your task at hand. You don't have to finish it right now either, but let's find out what the last card, because what is your highest good is the last card. Flexible.
That's the one card in the deck I don't understand. I really can't wrap my head around that.
I'm going to tell you what it means to your circumstance. All right. So Doug can read it, but I'm going to tell you this. You have a rigid story around what you are going to be, right? When you grow up, you have to be that way. That is like the way it is. And then you got to take, maybe I have to take up money and I have to finish it. And it's only going to be this way and my master's, and you don't give yourself any other option. Does that make sense to you?
That is so true.
Okay. Now do you understand the card?
Flexible. Okay.
So flexible is a need for you to really give yourself a hall pass and allow yourself, and with deep compassion too, like you've been fed a storyline that has hurt you. This is not helping you. Like you've lost why you love learning, right? And do you want to put yourself into debt for this thing? Like, you know, there's all these practical things that have come up for you. And so to take a break with the chopped wood. And in this case, it's like, you need to allow yourself with that second card to see some flexibility around how else could you become this person that you, you know, is it really about, because I think you're being so challenged right now about your old story.
I think what's so important, Lenora, and for everybody listening, right? This is about, when we get into three card readings, we're moving out of the anchor card where we're talking about just our day. We're talking about a very specific situation. What do you need to know about, for your highest good, about going back and pursuing your master's? And the ultimate message is, you know, really about, you have to be open-minded. The way you've been fixated on this and not flexible has not, it will not be in your highest good.
What it's hurting you. Yeah.
It's actually hurting you.
I've had such nightmares the last week. It's just terrible. I don't haven't had nightmares for years and years and years and years. And all of a sudden I'm having these, and I'm like, why are they coming from? And I've been, yeah.
They're coming from your unconscious, because your unconscious is trying to work them out. So you're, you know, remember this too. when you are seeing yourself as less than and unworthy, if you don't complete something, they are going to haunt you. It's a sense of like, I'm not enough. You know, I'm not going to be enough if I don't do this. I'm willing to hurt myself, put myself in all. Now, it doesn't mean that you aren't going to go into debt and you aren't going to take out a loan. You're not going to finish this. That's not the point. The point is, what is motivating you? Right. And that's what these cards teach us, is like, what motivates us? If you're motivated by sharing and learning and whatever, but you've lost all that because you're being led now by the identity piece that is coming from your wound.
Well, that's very much true. Very true. I've lost the reason to finish. I've lost the reason of wanting to. I really don't know. What will I do with it? And I just don't even.
And you don't need to know this minute. And you don't need to know right now on the phone with us. You don't have to come up with the answer right now, but I want you to percolate on this. And really, I'd love you to get Nancy Levin's book, Worthy. About worthiness. It's so important. Her story about, you know, she was our event director at Hay House, and just like what she was willing to tolerate for perfection was, you know, because she was driven by a sense of unworthiness. And I think that that's what happens to all recovering perfectionists, right? Is to realize, like, when we lose our motive for doing something because we love it, instead we're doing something because we have to accomplish something that's going to somehow elevate us by whose standards and by whose rules. I identify, I never finished my degree. My parents were academics. That was the biggest problem. I mean, oh my God, I had to chip on my shoulder the size of this rock in Gibraltar. I said to the president of Hay House, well, don't you think I should finish my psychology degree? And he looked at me and goes, oh, they don't care whether you have a psychology degree or not. Your fans don't care. You could probably teach some of the psychologists. So he said, you know, I never finished the degree. And so I had to completely face that. Like, what made me unworthy? Like, yeah. I sat in your shoes a long time ago, but I know what it feels like. And Doug knows.
I've been doing executive coaching with CEOs and C-level execs for probably 15 to 20 years. And now all of a sudden I've been like, question myself, do I need to get a coaching certification? No, I need a coaching certification. I don't need to get one.
Coaching.
I can teach it. Right. Exactly. And so I think it's so, I mean, what's important for us all, and when you're hearing this, Laura, I think it's so powerful, not just the context, but it's allowing the message of the oracle and of spirit. What spirit's saying to you is almost like you're being so hard on yourself. You don't need to do that anymore.
Oh.
Like you're getting, someone said in the chat, it is what Colette said, it's the hall pass, right? It's,
yeah.
You give yourself permission to be open to what's next and let that path be for someone else. Now, that doesn't mean that in the future something may come to you that is right, but this path you're being way too rigid about, and it's time to be flexible and just, it's almost like if you've ever done yoga, it's like that last pose, the Shavasana pose, where you just like fall into the floor because it's like you've been holding it so tightly and it's time to release.
I'm going to pull one more card for you, okay? See my app? I trust my app. And this is for everybody because you've been the big giant Cleidon for everyone. Everybody's relating to you right now. You've helped everybody, Lenora. So I'm going to say, what else, what last thing does spirit have to say to you about this situation that could really help you? One card. A leg up. You don't have to do this by yourself. The cards can help you. People can help you. You can get good advice, right? It's like, you don't do this by yourself. This isn't just you and you. This is the Oracle is your partner. Spirit is your partner. You've got friends here in Oracle School. You've got, maybe you're seeing a shrink. I don't know. Like, you have help. You are not alone.
I can't tell you how much Oracle School has meant to me.
Don't make me cry.
Personal mastery and shared wisdom. Being here again has just improved my life so much. Aww. Oh, thank you.
We love you.
This has really been my leg up.
Thank you.
Oh,
wow. Thank you for Lenora for coming on with us. So we love you.
I just pulled a leg up in protection today in the trick or treat in Elf House. Oh, and it was let people help you.
Let people help you. Yeah.
So that's just that's amazing.
Oh, we love you so much.
Thank you, Laura.
All right, Laura.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Now you see, this is what happens, you guys. Nobody leaves Oracle School. She already went through personal mastery once, shared wisdom, and she came back to personal mastery again. And this is kind of how we play it here. Nobody wants to go home. And thank you for letting us witness you like that, Lenora. That was so powerful, so powerful. Wow, let's choose one more person to come up.
One moment.
I'm gonna cry. No, I'm not gonna cry. No crying.
Okay, just randomly pulling up. I've got Valerie Wyshechin. So Valerie, let's see here. Here she comes.
Oh, Wyshechin, that's a cool name. Valerie, come see me. I'm the same girl I used to be.
Can you hear us?
Valerie, you have no camera.
Maybe not tonight, Valerie.
Okay, Valerie, we're so sorry. Okay. You know what? We've only got 6 more minutes. I think that was kind of a sign. Maybe we need to all hold hands because I'd like to. I'm going to do a 3-card reading for everybody tonight. All right. So I'm going to do it off my phone and then we're going to do a meditation. And I really do think that Lenora's, I'd like to sort of percolate on that experience for all of us. So I think that was a beautiful, I think every one of us has identified with her, me, Doug included. So I think that was everybody. Thank you for coming on tonight. So let's choose 3 cards for what do we all need to know? What do we all need to know? In order for our highest good. Yes, Mariette, we're going to do another call. Like this is what happens now as we go. This is all our calls. Now we get people up every week now from now on. So begin a reading. It's just the first 3 weeks we don't. Okay, so let's get. This is how we share, right? Is to get you guys up. Okay, so I'm going to get, what I'm going to do is the story. What 3 things do we all need? Sorry, Valerie. Go the distance. We all need to hang in there. We all need to hang in there and not give up. We just have to trust that this is not a sprint, it's a marathon. We have to keep going. We have to keep being part of this process and not expecting it to be answered and solved right away. And then we can't overanalyze. We have why in protection. It's the idea that we try so hard to figure it all out. And there are certain things that only spirit knows. You know, we don't need to know all of the way the mechanism works. We just need to trust and have faith, too, that these things and this process actually does work. And last but not least, we have soulmates that we're here together and that we're not alone, that there's a sense of feeling that the world will reflect back to us everything that we need. The right people are in our life, the way that we are here in Oracle School. You know, your mentors, your Anna, Doug and me, and your fellow students, and you're starting to share more and communicate, etc. And we start connecting each other, you know, towards the end, I think in the 5th lesson is we're going to get you guys paired up and stuff like that. So I love what Gina Maria said, our little pea brains don't have the cosmic vision. We have to trust that there is a cosmic vision and that we are here together. So on that note, I'm going to ask everyone to hold hands in your minds. All right. So taking a deep, deep breath. And let's just allow ourselves to settle into our chairs. Make sure your legs are not crossed and that your feet are on the ground. And I'm imagining that I'm holding Dougie's hands. And there's Anna. And then like this. And we're all together. Doug is on one hand, Anna's on the other. And then we keep going around in a circle and that all of us are here together in a circle. And we're breathing deeply and we're feeling our feet grounded into the center of the earth as if we have roots like a tree. So the energy from the bottoms of our feet pushes deep into the earth. And imagine that from the top of our head is a silver coil, silver, silver thread, and it moves right through us, all through our energy centers, down through our spine, down into our legs and down into the ground. And it really connects us to earth energy. And the earth sends up golden light. So it's like a both gold and silver moves through us. Everything connecting together. And allowing our bodies to be flexible. Just notice the rigidity that we might have around our jaw, how we hold our shoulders, our hips, and just letting ourselves feel a softer way to hold hands too. Now we can release our hands, but in front of our hearts, let's imagine that there's a ball of pink light. And it's called a chi ball, actually. So we have life force energy, and we can actually push it with our hands, and it'll push back. Just allow it to be so gentle. You can watch me in the video, actually, just how my hands go. And I feel it pushing, like there's this pushing light. And I push in, and it pushes me back. You can make them huge, but I don't want you to go past your shoulders. And just feel how this is this energy ball and the insides of your hands should be tingling. But you know what this energy is? Light and love. That's what it is love and good wishes, genuine, genuine support and good wishes that we have coming from our hearts. And a desire for peace and kindness and compassion. And we're going to blow it into the circle. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for coming today. We love you so much.
Love you all so much.
Yeah, this was a great, great video to rewatch since we had people come up. And every week we are going to be starting to do this now. This is our next part of the process where we're having you come up and talk with us. I think it was a really wonderful evening and or afternoon for me and in Hawaii. Thank you, Anna. Thank you, Doug. Thank you all the mentors, their hard work, and of course the lead mentors as well too, and every single one of you who came on the call and shared with us. We really appreciate your candor and your willingness to be open and to our support for you. We love you. Mwah. And if there's more questions, you can go to the main hall. It'll take me a few days to answer. Anna will probably post something about, she always does, like what your takeaway was, etc. If there's any questions that weren't answered, you got to give me a few days to do it because I'm on the road and traveling. Don't be impatient if I didn't finish.
Yeah, and a couple that we didn't get to in the call tonight on the Q&A, if you could repost yours in the main hall, that would be really helpful. So thanks, everybody.
Bye, everybody. We love you. Take care. Thanks.